Hey, just left the store. I will be there shortly. Got something for you and the baby. So I will see you in a little bit. Yeah, put the beers in the freezer. And we'll have a good time.
Shut the fuck up.
Come on, have a little class.
Really? Was it worth it? No, he'll never make dinner, never again. And several people won't make it home. Texting, it can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Road to Stardom Radio.
Welcome everyone to 6 and Rolling World to Start the Radio Success. We have a great show today. Appreciate you joining us today. We got a lot to talk about. You know, Diddy is in the news. Diddy is in the news. T. Diddy is in the news. Brother Love, since he changed his name again, Brother Love is in the news. And, you know, his house was raided yesterday. His house in Miami. His house is in Miami. And L.A. were raided because, you know, they had a Homeland Security had a tip about him sex trafficking. A lot of people put lawsuits out on Diddy, aka the Love, and in there they talked about sex trafficking. That made the Homeland Security raid both homes in Miami and in L.A. That's right. And in L.A., there's Justin and Christian. And you know, when the federal government comes to your home, they're going to handcuff you because they want to make sure you don't try to, you know, because people know they're going to get raided. And so what they do, they try to destroy evidence for or what is going on before they get bust in. They try to destroy evidence. So they handcuffed them so they wouldn't try to destroy any evidence. And if you remember a while back, there was a producer that put out the lawsuit on Diddy and said he Diddy for some months that while he was working on the Love album, that producer was Diddy. Diddy didn't pay him, so he put the gold, the money that Diddy was supposed to pay him. So, this guy is producer, but we didn't know the GoFundMe until after he made his lawsuit. And in his lawsuit, he said that he and his son Justin beat up some dude in the bathroom. They shot him. They shot him allegedly, and they somehow got rid of the body. And he got the police in his pocket in L.A., so that's why they didn't get in trouble for it. He said while he was there with Diddy, that Diddy made him go get some sex workers, told him to put on the bad boy hat, and that would alert the sex workers that he was coming to get them. So by him wearing the hat, the sex workers knew that he was coming. And then the dude who put out this lawsuit, he also had a video saying that Diddy sent him a video of Stevie J having sex with a man. And a black dude that kind of resembles Stevie J, sex with a white dude, but it wasn't Stevie J. Because it was a star, and he came out, that was him in the video, and it's not Stevie J. He also said that he's been at many parties. So a lot of lawsuits are coming out. And it's a wrap. city, if they find any stuff, find anything that leads to RICO charges, trafficking, human trafficking, period. Because we also, there was a lawsuit by a young lady who said she was raped by Diddy and his CEO, that boy, yeah. That's what she, and the one who said that her friend was sexually assaulted by Diddy and Aaron Paul. So there's a lot of lawsuits. But the dude who put the lawsuit out amended his lawsuit. So now, instead of it being a 70-page lawsuit, it is now a 90-page lawsuit. 20 more pages added. More stuff was said. More people's names were added. People's names I've never heard of was added to the lawsuit. And so, we don't know. We don't know if he's been arrested. But, you know, they flagged the plane, and it was in the Caribbean. When they looked at Diddy's flight plan, they, in a short amount of time, they saw that Diddy was in a whole lot of different places in a short amount of time. And they're trying to say that Diddy, I think, in Antigua, fueled up his plane. The plane is back. There's TMZ got footage. If you probably seen it, there's TMZ probably about it. They got footage of Diddy at the airport, just pacing back and forth. And it's like, I think, you know, everybody knew what happens, you know, with Diddy, but the one thing people are upset about, Guns was there when the house got raided, and like Diddy, like, he didn't take his son. But you have to, they're grown. Diddy's kids, except for his girls, his twin girls, Diddy's kids is grown. His son, Christian, is grown. And you understand saying they live in Diddy's home in LA. And I'm sure they probably stay at the home in Miami. They stay at the home in Miami. They're grown. So it's not like these are little kids. These are grown daughters. They're teenagers. Three daughters, only two, the twins with him. The third daughter, I think, still live with the mother. His newest daughter is with the mother. You know, for the helicopter above to catch bringing his sons out in handcuffs, you know, the way, you know, when you don't know how raids work, you see them two boys in handcuffs and it's like, as you are, like, you real pissed off. Misa was already mad at me when Justin caught a DUI. When he was in that the DUI. She was mad at that. Because, you know, because in the beginning, Justin wasn't staying with me. But as Justin got older, they let Justin stay with me. And, you know, just being around Diddy, Justin has changed. Parent, you're the disciplinary parent. And you set rules, and you the other hand out here letting your child break. I'm saying that he's more the lenient parent than me. And you know, more details. Yesterday, all they were talking about was Diddy news. I'm sure every news channel you probably do. They were talking about the situation, and today, because I'm sure more has come out in the report. And, you know, a lot of people's names was mentioned that, you know, that ended lawsuit by that producer, and and they say the staff talking, the chief of staff talking. You understand what I'm saying? Then the chief of staff talking to the feds. It sucks when you got a good job working for D, but because you work for D and you see things, you don't want to be seen, to see them, you got to keep quiet. And it's like, damn, did he bump my salary? Or some, you want me to tell him he bumped my salary? So I'm getting more than the average person doing what I does when you think about it. Yep, I like that. You know, the blog talking about it. But you know, the thing about the blog, when stuff like this come out, is they spin it on their own narratives. You're not getting true facts. A lot of these blogs spin it for their own narratives to debate you into reading what's on the blog, not knowing if it's true or not. You know, the headline is going to read something salacious. It's going to catch your eye. You're going to click on it and read it. And what you read is going to be the truth. Like watching Mims make it make sense. And when news comes out about the situation, he does a dive. He makes sure he gives you the facts of what's going on in the Diddy situation or any situation, he makes sure he gives you the facts. He don't just go on what's there while people are saying. He makes sure he gives you the facts. And I watched his Diddy, and he breaks down it's long. I will play it for y'all, but it's long, like an hour long. But basically, he got the new court documents from the producer who was suing Diddy, his amended one, and mentioned all these people's names, and all these people who was named, they're gonna have to testify against Diddy, and you cannot perjure yourself. You know how many lawyers he got besides Cassie? Cassie's lawsuit was a lawsuit that rolled out all other lawsuits. Because, you know, people were scared to say anything about because their fear of retaliation. Like, they say something, they have fear Diddy and somebody to come at them. And Cassie won her lawsuit. Cassie to do it, and she won. I'm going to do brave, and I'm gonna follow Cassie. And this producer said, when Diddy was starting to make the Love album, he was with him, one of the producers on the album. And wherever Diddy went to make some album, he was there with him. So he was there for like some months with Diddy. Him for the work he done, and that's what made him and saw some things at Diddy house that made him put out the lawsuit, but also he put out a GoFundMe because he was trying to recoup the money that he was supposed to pay for his work on working on the Love album. And in the first lawsuit, when his original lawsuit, he mentioned Meek Mills, Chris Brown, Cuba Gooding Jr. He mentioned Usher, Cuba Gooding. You got to understand. Dude, listen, let me explain. You got to understand that, let's say I tell you I'm going to the Bahamas, taking my... Bahamas is right across the water from Miami, so it don't take you, it ain't going to take you but a hop, skip, and a jump to get to the Bahamas. Now, let's say, I say, hey, you know, since we girlfriends, come with me to the Bahamas. And you say, okay, it's a free trip. You ain't got to come out your pocket. All I do is get myself to Miami, and we take the boat. If I'm take us to the Bahamas, on the Bahamas, you're not only thing you coming out of your pocket flight to get to Miami. And listen. If Cuba Gooding Jr. lives in Miami, then he ain't really, all you gotta do is come over to Diddy's house. And they could take a or yacht, whichever did that, and they go over there to the Bahamas. No money's coming out of pocket. You understand what I'm saying? When you a celebrity and you got celebrity friends, and you say, and you talk to them on a common basis, you say, hey, I'm going to Antigua on the weekend. You want to come? No money has to come out of your pocket. Gonna say, yeah, you're gonna go. You don't, no money's coming out your pocket. He's paying for it. Why not? Why not go on a free trip? Or what if you are already there? What if you already there? Because you know they have those private islands that celebrities go to. So you're already there. You run into Diddy, so you start hanging with Diddy. So,
whatever you do, do not give this number out. Hold on.
So, yes. So, yeah, everybody. So, that's what the news is, Diddy. I haven't watched or looked it up to see if Diddy's been arrested or anything, but the situation going on right now, and
hello, you are on air. How are you doing today? I'm doing okay. All right, first happy birthday to you. A couple days ago, happy birthday. So we're talking about my friend here, and what are y'all doing? What's going on?
What's up, Ernest?
And supposedly to be accused of sex trafficking, I think money laundering, and all kind of different stuff. Yep. That's not the puppy I know. What do you think, Rose?
So, now they're saying that Diddy may be trying to liquidate his assets into offshore accounts. No, you have offshore accounts. If people are trying to get their assets, if they're in offshore accounts, they cannot get to them. Because, well, whatever country you have your money in, their banks... banks get a foundation and said celebrity has money in their bank in the offshore. Just watch the movie, say, oh, such and such money in the Cayman Islands. You know, pretend they're broke But then they say, oh, sometimes money in the Cayman Islands. So the in the Cayman Islands doesn't have to abide by the U.S. law that they have to turn over records if the person has an account. And they're also saying that Diddy was trying to a place where he can't be extradited, meaning if he goes to, like, Brussels, if they're looking for him and he's in Bali, they extradite him. Because they don't, the country is not going to buy it. And there's other countries that don't buy it either. So he go anywhere to where they don't believe in extradition and just sit there. But if he does have money in an offshore account, he could survive off the money in an offshore account. Like, they can seize his home, like they created his home, and, you know, trying, because people are saying, you know, videotape of him, you know. So the guy who was just talking about what the lawsuit out there, he said while he was with Diddy that the workers that worked in the house had product bags filled with drugs, cocaine, GHB. They say he and those carried that around with the drugs in it. He said, like, he said executives would be there. So, like, if you need some coke, they give it to you. So all this stuff is coming out, and people have said yes. Other celebs said they've been to Diddy's parties, but no one said there was Diddy's parties drugs. This is what the person said. So they 70-page lawsuit, because he amended the lawsuit, is now a 90-page lawsuit. He got video evidence of some stuff that he didn't want to put in the lawsuit, that when it comes time for him to testify, that he would send it over that way. Other than that, so yeah, we gotta. So I'm gonna take from talking about right now, because we need to send prayers out to Baltimore. At 1 a.m. in the morning, a cargo ship hit the bridge in Baltimore. The bridge collapsed. There was cars on the bridge. So far, 20 people died. So I'm gonna pull it up so we can get more information. It was a cargo. It's a cargo ship, and it had a lot of. I think I don't know what it was transporting. It's 1 a.m. in the morning. Most of the ships tight on them, they can see where they're going. And but to hit the bridge, and it collapsed. Bridge. There's video of it. That's why I'm trying to pull it up. I'm trying to pull up a the article. It's the Francis Scott Key Bridge, Baltimore. That's the bridge that got knocked down. The car, so where you see the docks with the cargo bins on them, you see those in the movie. Well, picture a ship with those coming through. And depending on how much cargo the cargo might have been too high for the bridge. And that's why he hit the bridge. Well, I'm going to pull up. I'm going to read the article so we know exactly what happened.
Time on cargo ships, you got like food, clothing, different stuff. Got to be transported by some of those ships.
Ship. And it was a large cargo ship. So this is what it's saying. So let me read the article. It says the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore last Tuesday in the Patapsco River. I'm going to read the text. I'm going to talk by a large cargo ship. The bridge's collapse has a emergency response, with Baltimore City Fire Department describing the collapse as a mass casualty incident. 7 people in the river. Maryland Governor Wes Moore has declared a state of emergency. Baltimore Mayor Brendan Scott said on X that he was aware of the incident, was en route to the bridge. Emergency personnel on scene. Efforts are underway. The 1.6-mile four-lane bridge named for the of the Star Spangled Banner was the second longest trust bridge span the United States and third in the world. And they show you pictures. So it was a large cargo ship. How many cargo containers he had, you know what I'm saying? Or if he had any light to see. Because you know, at 1 a.m. it's pitch black outside. Without any light, you're going to be able to see where you're going. Even though he's on water, he's not going to be able to see you. And they were saying there were cars. So they were in the water looking for 7 people. But it said 20 people, person steering the boat, died. For this article is a brief article. It doesn't give any so I want to see if I find updated information. Because all of a sudden it had 20 people. Okay. Okay. Yahoo say it's 6 people dead after the bridge collapsed. It was an hour ago, put the article out. Other articles that were, one that was, I guess, update from 20 minutes ago on this, it says, what I think is, if they rebuild the bridge, are they going to call it Francis Key Bridge when that Francis Key was erased? The 6 missing men who fell in the river following the collapse of the bridge on Tuesday morning called off. The said it was unlikely they would be. At a press conference on Tuesday, an official said resumption has happened due to the extensive but unsuccessful search effort and the temperature of the water. It tells you when the collapse occurred. It says the collapse occurred as the ship collided around with the bridge around 1 p.m. on Tuesday in Baltimore. 2 people were rescued water. With one in critical condition and the other rejecting medical attention, officials say 8 men were originally unaccounted for. Based on the length of time that we've gone in this search, the extensive search effort that have gone into it, the water temperature at this point, we do not believe we are going to find these individuals alive, the officials said on Tuesday evening. The Coast Guard going away. Some of our partners are okay, but we're going to change into a different phase. The car just called the Dolly passed into a pillar of the bridge. 5 minutes after setting sail on its 27-day journey to... Oh! So it was leaving Baltimore. It wasn't going into Baltimore. It was leaving Baltimore. Because it was going all the way to Sri Lanka. The cargo ship was going all the way to Sri Lanka. Still unclear what caused the accident at the time. So whatever we have over here is being delivered to Sri Lanka. And they said that's a 27-day journey. I know those captains of the cargo ship, for their job, get to go to different countries because not only do we import, export to other countries, or these cargo places, you say, what, 27 days to Sri Lanka, and I get to view the world as I'm going. Sri Lanka? You understand what I'm saying? So, it was a total of 8, but I saw something, and I can't remember where I saw it, but it said it was 20 people dead. Like, the caption was like 20 people dead, and I'm like, but this was 20 minutes ago, and it's saying it's not 20, it's 6. So they're presuming the 6 individuals there. So 2 people that were saved, one is in critical condition, the other refused medical treatment, but they didn't say if one of those 2 men are the captain steering the boat, the ship, father didn't say that. You know, they didn't say. So we send our prayers out to Baltimore as, you know, you as this, we don't know who these people are, family members to get calling and saying that family members are in hospital critical condition because a cargo hit the bridge. And then we don't know who the other people are, so you know their families probably called police stations. Listen. And then you're watching breaking news, and it's saying that a cargo ship hit the bridge, and you say to yourself, well, such and such gets off of, you know, as a family member, mind start racing because you don't know if they survived or if there were cars. I'm not sure if there were cars on the bridge, but if there was and they was in their car, if that, you know, if that car fills up with water, they're drowning in their car.
My Lord.
And if they wasn't able to get out, if they don't know how to swim, they're drowning in the water because they don't know how to swim. So it's either scenario, it doesn't look good. You've seen how in the movies, how the cars get put in, you know, people get into accidents and the car goes over into the water and they try to save the people. People try to get out and then the water winds up seeping in the car. Once the water starts filling up, this is deep water. This is not like you in a pool where 5 feet is the deep end. It's not a pool. This is real deep water. And if you don't know how to swim, then saying you don't know what's in the water. You know how to swim. They tell you. They tell you to hold your breath for a certain amount of minutes. You know. These people don't know how to swim. Now, if you know how to swim, you can look to see where there's some sort of kind of land so you can swim. If you know how to swim, but if you don't know how to swim, plus it's cold, you know the temperatures are cold. Even though we're in spring, the temperatures are still cold. And depending on what you got on, clothes-wise, once you got water, be heavy. You see what I'm saying? Like, if you go into that water with a coat on, that coat get wet. Depending on the material, it's going to get off. Be in freezing water, cold water already coat. But once, if you take it off, be even more cold. Not gonna be too cold for you to swim. That's why they start search and rescue because of the temperature of the water. I wonder if they didn't know how to swim, even though the bridge collapsed, if there was any part of the bridge or not, they could have held on. Or did the whole thing just go underwater? You know how they do in movies, like something comes apart, there's still a piece not in the water, but it all fell in, under the water. Yeah. Let's just pray for Baltimore. Let's just pray for Baltimore. No one knows why this person crashed into the bridge. And I wonder if the bridge can be rebuilt. If not, then, because that's one of their main, I think that's one of the main bridges into Baltimore. And then you have to think, what if that bridge is the only route for people to get to work? I guess they're going to have to do like how they do when trucks are on the highway. They tell you what height the truck has to be in order to be able to go under the bridge. And if your truck got that height, you have to get off and then take local. And then once you pass the part that the truck can go to, back on the highway, because I've seen it's been in the news, the trucks crashed on the highway, they couldn't fit and they crash and stuck on the I'm just gonna have to pray for Baltimore. We at Road to Stardom Radio and Radio send our prayers out to Baltimore, Maryland, to the people of Baltimore, Maryland. We put this on any state, any city, just on it. I hope, because once everything is dying down, new information is going to come out, and I hope one of them is not the person who was steering the ship. I keep calling the boat steering the ship. I hope they wasn't on drugs, or I hope they wasn't drinking. Because, that's 27 days, your ship going away to Sri Lanka. That they wasn't on any type of drugs, drinking, that would impair them. If the ship was leaving to go pick cargo, Sri Lanka, or were they taking cargo to Sri Lanka? Because now you have to call Sri Lankans, the ship that was coming to your country crashed into the bridge, so what was going to be delivered to you can't be delivered to you. It's water. Or you were getting stuck from Sri Lanka to bring back the United States, then they're going to tell Sri Lanka they have to have the ship. Ship is going to see where that ship was going. I don't know. So, Six, what's going on in the woods?
Shoot,
man.
This chilling. Another day.
So here's some, I don't know person, but on TikTok there is a DJ that's based out of Jersey they said is a predator. That he gets paid for parties, but he's, even though he's a DJ, he get hired for kids' parties. The person who made the video about this DJ said he was a president. And I've never heard of this DJ because every state has their own musical sound. You know, like New York has, you know, has now has music, and so Jersey has their own type of music that they have, and he's a DJ that plays that type of music, and he gets hired for parties, but they're saying he's a pedophile, and I'm gonna say allegedly because I don't know it to be true. I don't know it to be true. And when you speak on people, if you don't know it to be true, you got to say it. Because it gets out there and you don't say it immediately. And, you know, take it to be true and then turn out not to be true. Because it could sue you for defamation. You don't never want to get sued. But... And the DJ's name is Little Man. Never heard of him. And then he had a team that works with him. They called the Little Man team. Like, never heard of them. They're from Jersey. And they're saying he's a pedophile. Now, I want to ask you the question. Your mom is gone. Your sister's gone. I want to ask you this question. I see this video posted on social media, and it was a mother and daughter like two people in the street. Like, they didn't know each other. Like, they had two people in the street beef with each other. Each other really going at it. So this is my question to you. I know your mom and sister's gone, but you just walked in the house and saw your mother and sister fighting like two people in the street. What would you do? You know me, dude? I'm saying I said my scenario to you. I said, your mom and sister's gone. But my question, my scenario to you is, what would you do if you went into the house and you saw your mother and sister fighting like two people in the street?
Break it up. Says, why would mother and daughter fight?
I do. That's the thing. I don't know. But in this video, I don't know who's videotaping and putting up on social media, but you see two women fighting each other. Like I said, like it's two, like, just like you get into a fight with somebody, you and that person fighting, y'all going at it real, real crazy. That's how this mother and daughter was. All the captions said that it was mother and daughter fighting each other. I asked you that scenario to see what you would do. In my case, my mom is going to still alive. Even if my mother and sister had some type of disagreement, it would never get that far to they're throwing blows at each other, having a full-on fist fight inside the house where everybody can watch. And nobody's stopping it. They recording it. See, in this day and age, everything is being recorded. No matter what you do, everything is being recorded. Back in our day, we didn't have to put out to record if something went down. So if somebody got into a fight, You had to hear from that was there fight. It was no social media for you to go to see the video. No, you had to be told about the fight from the people who was at the fight. And I'm like, I don't know what the mother did for it to come that far. You only get one mother. And for you to put hands on your mother, and you fighting her like you fighting some street that you might have beef with, you fighting your mother like that, and no one stopping the fight is being recorded and loaded to social media, because that's how people are seeing it. You know, that's crazy.
It is crazy. So, that's why we got to pay what I meant
to. So here's another situation I got for you. Group of friends go to Mexico. Right? You listen to me, right? A group of friends go to Mexico. Doesn't matter what part they go, they just went to Mexico. One of the friends only, for the whole time going to be out there in Mexico, only had 100 for the whole time he was going to be on this trip going to Mexico. Now, normally, you know, when your friends, you know, y'all get together, y'all say, oh, we're going to go on this trip tomorrow, and we're going to stay at such a place, this is what it's going to cost to stay there. So, you ain't got the money, right? You don't go. If you know you ain't got, no, you don't go. Because you got to pay for your airfare to get to go. And then you got to pay for the hotel, and a lot of these hotels are all included, that your food and stuff is included in your hotel stay. Right? And these friends of hers said $2,555, right? They get back from the trip. Go on social media, record a video telling the story about the friend only having $135 on this trip. So they're on social media talking about their friend only having $135 for this trip. And so I come across a video where the guy was talking about this situation, and he said, so he's like in our age bracket, and he said, back in my day, you know, if a friend, my friend went on the trip with me, and my friend didn't have money, and it was like, if my friend had no money, we'll cover for them what they don't have, but we wouldn't go to social media and talk about them not being broke and not having money for this trip.
You got some people that are
ignorant. We would call our friends, but we wouldn't put it up on social media for everybody else. What they were doing was putting this up on social media for clicks and views. But what I understand, when you put a situation that you're going through for clicks and views, everybody's giving their opinion. Right? Everybody's going to give on their opinion on the situation. And people are talking bad about this girl who had $100 on this trip. All through the comments, people talking bad about this girl that don't even know this girl, but talking bad about this girl because she only had $135 for this trip. get it if you pay for your flight and the hotel, but they have no spending money, get it. It happens. You pay for your trip in advance, and then it comes time for your trip, you don't have any spending money. But what if your friend wasn't broke? What if she wasn't broke? $135 is all she set as her limit to spend on this trip. Because you know when you go somewhere, you spend more money than you should be spending. So that was her budget. So whatever we do, $135 is going to be my limit. So if it's too expensive, I'm going to do it. Yeah, that's her thought. But that's her being broke. She couldn't, there's no way in the world she could be broke and then be able to go to Mexico. There's no way in the world I'm broke, but I could still pay for a flight and a hotel to go to Mexico. That don't make sense. To me, that doesn't make sense. I don't think the girl, but then someone said, that doubt that the story, it was a fake story that the person put out there, but like I said, they're doing it for click views. I don't understand when you do that and you mention people's names that people are going to give their opinions about that person. People are going to look up to see if this person has a social media page and start harassing them on their social media page. And this person is broke, and they say they find that friend that you said was broke. Now this person is being harassed about being broke from people they don't even know because you, for clicks and views, want to tell a story going on vacation and having money. It don't make no sense. Crazy. No, it makes no sense. Crazy. So, what else? Nickelodeon documentary. And it is called, dang, I can't remember the name right now, Nickelodeon documentary. I'm going to pull it up to tell you what the title is. I watched some of it. Did you watch the show in class? Do you remember the class? You don't remember the show Head of the Class? Right, and Richard Pryor's daughter and Robert Givens was a part of the cast. So remember the big dude was in the class? He was the dude that was, well,
the what?
He was a chubby dude that was in the class. I'm going to tell you what the name of it is. Because we were watching it. It's called Quiet on Set, The Dark Side of Kids TV. And talking about the shows that were Nickelodeon. So the dude who was in the show, his name is Dan Schneider. He was one of the cast members and head of the class. He became an exec at Nickelodeon. Is the one I think that helped gather all that. Remember the show that? If you remember all that, it was behind the scenes. They stopped for a while. Then they rebooted it with other kids. When Keenan and Kel left, they were still doing all that. some other kids. Just I was, if you have HBO Max, that's where you can watch it. It's called Quiet on Set, The Dark Side of Kids TV. And like I said, watching the first episode, what they was talking about, Dan Snyder, Brian, I think the other guy's name is Brian, right? Some of the crazy stuff, one of the guys who was a PA working for Dan Snyder when they were doing all that, he got arrested for child, being a pedophile. So he would be the young girls on the cast, and I guess they would exchange email, and he was sending the young, one of the cast members, he was sending her email. And you know, and the mother saw that he sent the email, he said, and she looked, oh. And he sent email, because, you know, he asked me how you doing, this and that and that. One day, the strange that the daughter just ran in her room and started crying. She's like, why is my daughter crying? When she opens up the daughter's laptop, this fool, his first name is Jason, I can't remember his last name. This fool sends this, the daughter was either around 9 or 10 years old. He sends her a video of him masturbating, and when they arrested and raided his and went through his home, they found that he had videotapes of child pornography. He had videotapes of child pornography. And then and here we thought was wrong with Amanda Bynes. Amanda was featured in it as well. And we thought Amanda Bynes was crazy when we put her in a mental institution. The guy I'm talking about, Dan Snyder, right? He was close to cast member all that, and he told her, you know what? We're gonna give you your own show. And, you know, he was getting close to the young girl. Amanda Bynes showed up. That young girl who he had her own show, wound up giving it to Amanda Bynes. Because he was getting close with Dan. And Amanda Bynes, in her own words, she puts out on social media to let people know that Dan Snyder, that he's a pedo. She said, 13 years old, had an abortion, and it was the pappy. Yep. Her parents were stealing money. I think she was under conservative like Britney. Because her parents were taking her money.
Yes, you know, I understand why these people, your parents are your parents. You know, you can't just jump into the role of being a financial advisor. That's the same thing that happened with Thomas. They wasn't up there acting on that. Gary
Coleman was. You know?
Just
raised voice for so, let's say this. So, if you heard the show, there was a show on Nickelodeon called Drake and Josh. Right? Well, Dan Snyder has something to do with that being coming to light, right?
Okay.
He got So there was a producer, I think Brian Peck producer, on that show. And the guy, Drake, who's one of the lead roles in the show, his father was his manager. His father noticed that there was something strange about Brian Peck. And he tried his hardest to keep his son away from Brian Peck. Brian Peck didn't like it. So he got his father kicked out of this set. So the father said, "Oh, you don't want me as manager no more." So the mother wound up becoming the manager. And the father told the mother, keep Drake away from Brian Peck. And what she do, she did not obey orders, not listen to what the husband said, and let Brian Peck get close to Drake. Drake even had his own scheme about being Tito. And come to find out, because of Brian Peck, that's how he became a pedo. But his father told him to keep him away. But somehow Brian told the mother to let Drake get close. Let him and Drake get close. Now we got fired on the set. It was saying, bust this. Dan Schneider was not only the producer of all that, he was the writer, and he had them by the scenes that showed were sexual in nature, and because the scene where I don't know if it was squirted in their face or thrown in their face, and the way it would look like in secretion on the, they like male eye, it looks like male secretion on the face. But these were supposed to be jokes. These scenes were supposed to be jokes. A lot of these scenes that they showed was more sexual in nature, but these young kids would be funny. So remember the show Fear Factor? Remember the show Fear Factor where they have you do these, you had to do the challenges, they do the challenges that made you eat weird stuff? So one episodes or all that, they were acting, making it seem like it's supposed to be like actor, but these were kids. It was a lot of crazy stuff. Want to watch it on HBO Max. It's called Quiet Set, Dark Side TV. It starts off talking about Nickelodeon. There's more episodes, but I don't know if it's all about Nickelodeon, but there's more episodes. I just wanted to watch it. When they got the crazy stuff, I didn't want to watch it more. So, yeah. Watch it, draw your own conclusion about these people. Because a lot of people with celebs have come and said the crazy things that that go on in Hollywood. I saw a TikTok video where the person said, we need to prioritize the Corey Haim, because he was all this time, Corey Feldman, Corey Haim, Corey Feldman, he he apologized to Corey Feldman. All this time, he telling people what was going on in Hollywood, but nobody would believe him. And this is the reason why he got caught up in drugs and all that stuff. And you never see him do it like Hollywood or shows ever again. What happened to him when he was a kid in Hollywood. So, what time is it? 6. You know what time it is. It's trivia time. You ready? Ready? Ladies and gentlemen, it's trivia time. 6. Now, you know we do this all the time. You know we do this all the time. And let me get the. Okay, here's the first one. Here's the first one. Let's see how did you do this week. In Samuel Coleridge's poem, Rhyme of the Mary, what bird was hung around the mare's neck? Was it a crow, seagull, pelican, or trot? In Samuel Coleridge's poem, Ancient Mariner, what bird was hung around the mare's neck? Was it a crow, seagull, pelican, or albatross? What's your response?
I'm gonna go with C.
What'd you say? Oh, what, pelican?
The third one.
The third one, that's pelican. Okay, you went with pelican. Let's see if you're correct. So, you're wrong. 0 for 1. It says, the rhyme of the Ancient Mariner by Samuel Taylor Coleridge is explores themes of guilt, redemption, and the supernatural story of Chip's encounter with an albatross. When the mariner shoots the bird with his crossbow, he unwittingly brings a curse upon himself and his crew. Dead albatross is hung around his neck, symbolizing his wrong, becoming a burden that torments him on his solitary journey. This act catalyzes the mariner's profound spiritual transformation as he with consequences, redemption amidst the vastness of the sea. The second one. Okay, Russian Tsar Peter the Great once taxed which of the following? Russian Tsar the Great once taxed which of the following? Beards, singing, nose picking, excessive sneezing. Russian Tsar Peter the Great once taxed which following? Beard, singing, nose picking, excessive sneezing.
I'm gonna say
Said what? That's the answer, excessive sneezing? Okay. You gave me your answer. And it says, Richard says, I agree with not for his sweep modernization. As in Russia, early 18th centuries, implemented various unconventional policies to propel his country into the modern era. One of the most peculiar of these initiatives was taxation on beards in a bid to Europeanize Russian society and promote a more Russian appearance. Peter leveled taxes on hair, particularly targeting long beards. Peter's beard tax of 1690, bizarre, underscored his determination to propel Russia into the modern age. So you're 0-2, Lord. But that is crazy to think. Season one is the third one. Right. What is the term for a police officer as popularized by CB radio jargon? What is the term for a police officer as popularized by CB radio jargon? Is it Badger, Smokey, Bird Dog, Rubber Dog? What is the term for a police officer as popularized by CB radio jargon? Is it Badger, Smokey, Big Dog, or Rubber Duck?
Smokey.
You going with Smokey? You are correct. CB radio language is a specialized form of communication in the trucking industry to interact with fellow truckers while on the road. It is a unique combination of words and phrases that have developed to address the requirements and obstacles faced by truckers within CB radio jargon. The term smoke is commonly used to refer to a police officer, particularly a state trooper. The term is believed to have originated from the movie Smokey and the Bandit, where the main character was a trucker and chased by a state trooper. So you're 1-2. Let's get to the next one. 1-2. Next one. What is the name of the dog? What is the name of the dog on the iconic Cracker Jack box? Is Lucky, Buster, Duke, Beanie? What is the name of the dog on the iconic Cracker Jack box? Is it Lucky, Buster, Duke, Bingo? All right. Yes. 2-2 or 3. Nope. You are 1-3. So Cracker Jack is an iconic American snack, a master of candy, popcorn, and peanuts. It is well known for being packaged with a prize box. Its mascot, Sailor Jack, and his faithful companion, Bingo, have captivated generations in reality. Nicknamed Russell, in 1917, he had been adopted by Henry Epstein, the mastermind behind it, and later sealed by that kept the popcorn fresh. Eckstein had insisted they include dog on the box as documented by the Cracker Jack Association. Okay, 1-3 is the fifth question. Who was Japan's supreme military during World War II? Who was Japan's supreme military leader during World War II? The Ito Hirobumi, Shinzo Abe, Fumio Kishida, Tojo Aiki. Who was Japan's supreme military leader during World War II? Is it Ito Hirobumi, Shinzo Abe, Fumio Kishida, Tojo Hideki? What's the answer?
Third one.
So you're going with Fumio Kishida. You're going with Kishida. You are 1-4.
Damn.
It says, he might not be as well known as Mussolini or Hitler, Joe Hideki, leader of the Axis power during the World War II, told Joe's tenure as prime minister was marked by his authoritarian leadership style and his effort to maintain Japan's military dominance. He played a significant role in leading the country into war, most believed by spreading and by spearheading the attack on Pearl in December of 1941. Following the nation's surrender to the Allied powers, he was arrested, subsequently executed for war crimes committed during his time. A 1-4. Okay, why not?
What's up?
It's coming. Okay, according to the World Happiness Report of 2024, issued by Gallup, that is the world's happiest country is the Ireland, Finland, Switzerland, New Zealand. According to the World Happiness Report of 2024, issued by Gallup, world's happiest country is it Ireland, Finland, Switzerland, New Zealand? You going with Switzerland? Okay. Answer is Finland. It is Finland. It says, if you're happy and you know it, move to Finland. Once again. It says, Finland has been the happiest country in the world. The second report released for happiness report, compiled by data from more than 140 countries, Finland reports published annually by Gallup, the United Nations, and the University of Oxford. Denmark secured the second spot, Trevor, Iceland, Sweden, and Israel, probably 2020 on the list of the first inception in 2012. So you're 1 for 5. You're 1 for 5.
God damn.
Let's get to the next one. First, alphabetically, Nevada, Delaware, South Dakota, Vermont. Where its capital come first alphabetically? Nevada, Delaware, South Dakota, Vermont. What's your answer? Which state capital comes first alphabetically? Is it Nevada, Delaware, South Dakota, Vermont? The answer is, okay, it says here, knowing your state is the key to conquering discussion. Among the options, the state that comes in alphabetical order, Carson City, which is, of course, the capital of Nevada. Alphabetically, Carson City proceeds over the capital of Delaware, Pierre, the capital of South Dakota, and Montpelier, the capital of Vermont. Carson City is named after legendary businessman and explorer Carson, who gained fame for his adventures in the American West during the 19th century. The city has proudly served as the Nevada state capital since the state's inception in 1864. So we're 1 for 6 now. Here we go. Let's do one more. Which of the following has been part of the logo for Hallmark cards since 1949? Star, the cloak, heart, the crown. Which of the following has been part of the logo for Hallmark cards since 1949? Is it the star, the cloak, heart, crown? I know the answer. What is your answer? What's your answer, Six? So you go on the second one, which is clover.
Yep.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, Six for this week's trivia, Six is 1 for 7. Because Hallmark, I told you I know the answer. But the crown. Hallmark's logo is a crown. And this is what it says. Hallmark is the largest manufacturer of greeting cards. It was founded by George Clyde Hall, who is selling greeting cards alongside So Joyce, the man, I'm thinking it's wrong that they're calling him saying And I'm like, no, woman erases the man's name. Alongside a woman named Hall Brothers, the company underwent a trend the 1925 when it adopted the name Hallmark. In 1952, the company unveiled a new emblematic logo featuring the word Hallmark scripted in a handwritten font adorned with a 5-point crown. The brand created the iconic crown to symbolize its real commitment to quality and tradition. So you're 1-for-7 in tripping. Let's see. Get out of one spot and see if you can leave out of one spot. Okay. Which Greek letter is used to denote a change of any quantity in math and science? Is it beta, gamma, delta, omega? Which Greek letter is used to denote a change in any quantity in science? Is it beta, gamma, delta, omega? Answer. Going with gamma. Let's see if you get out of the hole. The correct answer is you're 1-for-8 now. It says as progressive history, mathematicians encountered a growing number of symbols to note the emerging concepts of numbers, functioning sets, and equations, because most of us had an understanding of Greek, the letters of the ancient Greek alphabet and Egypt. The letter delta character in the Greek alphabet emerged as a significant tool in mathematics. And since, like a triangle, delta represents the difference between values or signifies the magnitude of change within a variable. So the answer was delta. You're 1-for-8. Let's go 1-for-8 out of the hole, but you stuck at one. But do one more set and which coined the term atomic bomb 30 years before its invention? Which writer coined the term atomic bomb approximately 30 years before its invention? Mark Twain, Charles Dickens, H.G. Wells. Which writer coined the term atomic bomb approximately 30 years before its invention? Mark Twain, Charles Dickens, H.G. Wells. What's your answer? 6, wasn't it? And 6. You're going with Mark Twain. Okay. I think him, but you're one. Woo, you're still at 1. 1 for 9. Or 1 for 8. Whichever number we got now, 9. 1 for that. It says the atomic bomb was one of the defining inventions of the 20th century. Yet what truly remarkable was how science fiction luminary H.G. Wells told its creation nearly 3 decades prior to its actual fruition. Written in 1933, 30 years before the onset of the Manhattan Project, Wells' prophetic work, The World Set Free, around the world being devastated by the mushroom cloud we associate with atomic bombs, but their lasting radiation as well. Those for the epithet I just damn. Wow. 1 for 9. On trivia. 1 for 8. If we win 9, it's 1 for 8. Wow. Next week, we will have more trivia. That's to get right or wrong. We don't know what the questions are going to be until I open the trivia and read it. He does. So, giving his educated guess. And as you see tonight, he'll have one guess right. But I'm sure if more people join us, we'll get more than just 6 trivia. So we can get other people's answers. Yep. So, it's almost that time is high, but next Tuesday with Great Sixton Road, we appreciate you as always for joining us for the show. So, a few weeks back, the segment of Dita's Kitchen, and I said to the people, if you like this segment, let us know. Well, I have a response, but I'm going to give it Dita's Kitchen before we get out of here. This is a good one because this is for people who like chicken, and for people who like chili. If you like chicken, you don't always have to eat the same. People make chili with the red kidney beans, or they might use black beans, whichever they prefer. Well, last night I made chili, but I made my 6 bean chili. Right? And I used 6 different beans to make chili. And you can do different beans in always have to be the same beans. I know you want to follow the tradition what chili is made with beans, because you can make without beans and chili with beans. And when it's made with beans, it's always red kidney beans. So, I beans, 1 can of black beans, 1 can of cannellini beans, 1 can of beans, 1 can of Roman beans, 1 can of pink beans. They're little pink beans, lighter than the beans, but it's basically the same, just a lighter and the kidney beans, so they call it one can of sweet golden corn. And we don't eat beef in the house like that, so I use ground turkey instead of ground beef. If your person doesn't eat beef, then you can use ground turkey or ground chicken. It's still chili. No matter what meat you put in, it's still chili. Basic, you know, your basic seasonings you put in there. Black pepper, onion powder, garlic powder, chili powder. But I use adobo. And I use bouillon. I use Norse tomato bouillon. And what I do is, because they, when you read the recipe, it tells you to run beans, to run beans and then put them in the pot. All I do is just pour the juice off, pour some of the juice off of one can of beans I pour into the pot. And then the rest of it, pour the juice off and then put the beans in the pot. And then towards the end, when the chili is ready, that it's just officially ready, the corn. I don't like to add corn at the time I add beans. Take long for the corn to heat up. And if you're using fresh beans, if you're a person who likes fresh beans, say, or one kind of bean, if you like fresh beans, say, then just, like, you can use the kidney beans or the beans or beans you want to use if fresh beans, but if you're going to use canned, you can go six. I usually add chickpea, but being that my nephew don't like chickpea, I didn't add it to the chili. So I used to instead of cannellini bean, I used to do the chickpea. Being that he don't like chickpea, I don't put the chickpea anymore, but use chickpea body of their chili. He is technically not a bean, but still, you can use it in your chili. And you put what season you like, make it flavorful. I usually put a can, put some tomato paste in there. Not the whole can, put like maybe about half a can of tomato paste, you know, give it that flavor. Now, like I said, the Norse tomato and with the seasonings that I, the chili powder, onion powder, garlic powder, black pepper, adobo. I don't use salt because the bouillon has salt in it. And being that I didn't rinse the beans, have salt. And sometimes when you add salt, it can make the dish salty and you won't be able to eat it. And I forgot what the trick was to do if you make that mistake and make it salty. I don't know if it was trying to remember. I think it was to add a piece of bread or something. And then instead of, you don't always have to eat white rice. You can use yellow rice for your chili. You can use rice. I use brown rice. Like I say, you don't have to eat white rice. You can use whatever rice you want to eat. Jasmine, basmati. If you like those rices, use that. If you don't eat rice, you can use quinoa. Or you can use cauliflower rice, broccoli rice. You can use it as your rice. If you don't eat white rice, So that is a tip for y'all. And it's time for us to say goodbye. Appreciate you as always for rocking with us here on Rolling Stone Radio, Six Eyes Radio. Next after you, the Indie Experience, where you get nothing but the best in indie music and gospel. Don't know how long with music tonight, just know it's going to be some great music. And the next show, that's at 11 p.m. And the next show on Six Eyes Radio is at 4 p.m. That's Eastern Standard Time. You got the Children's Bible Study. And then at 7 p.m. is Bible Study. And the number to call for the adult Bible study is 424-249-6111. And the number for kids Bible study is 515. What's the rest of the number, 6? The rest of the number to the kids Bible study is 515.
Seconds.
Okay, and if you're interested, you call that number and you can tune into the show by phone, or you can tune in through your computer or your phone by going to Six Eyes Radio, crossoverradio.com/Six Eyes Radio. You can Google Six Eyes Radio and it will come up. If you Google it, the show will come up. Yep. If you Google it, the show will come up. And you'll be able to tune in through your phone.
10 seconds.
Yep. We will see you at the next show. We're going to say peace. One.